Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
You wanna be down with the kids?
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
The kings indeed. King on his crown. Lance Zierlein and Del Olale here with you as John continues to live in a castle somewhere outside of Spain and does his little Spanish traipsing across Europe and to go find himself. Del and I are here holding it down. I mean, every time John leaves, something major happens. Major. We had January 6th. We had something broke. Like, at least, this is 3 years in a row where major stories have broken when John has been gone. And this time it's the hiring of D'Amico Ryans. It is the Rockets winning two in a row. And here's something that we've got to really face, Del. And this is, yeah, I hate saying this, but right now it's a statistical fact. Right now the Rockets are playing, well, they're playing 100% basketball over the last two games. They're playing 60% winning basketball over the last five games. It's time for us to really take a good hard look at Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green are both out, and they win consecutive games. Last year, they were out at the same time early in the year, and the Rockets won, I think it was eight consecutive games. This is the cold, hard fact statistically. With Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. on the court, they have consistently been one of the worst teams in basketball. With both guys off the court, they are one of the best teams in basketball, statistically speaking. So it's time to really give a hard, hard consideration to the fact that when two of your guys who take the most shots don't play, you are one of the hardest teams in basketball to beat, as witnessed by the last two games against a couple different NBA opponents. I'm not going to mention who, but yesterday was Oklahoma City.
You can mention the opponent, add some context to the equation. It's not like they swept the Celtics the last two games.
Well, but they have won consecutively against Oklahoma City. But the fact is, over the last five games, if you extrapolate out, you know, these five games, then you just extrapolate out, you're playing 60% winning basketball, and you're a playoff team. Without Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., the statistics say you are a playoff-caliber basketball team.
Well, let's see who they've played.
That's what the stats are saying.
I understand. I mean, I'm not all that against those two being together. Ain't great for the Rockets, as the record reflects. But let's put into context who this Rocket team, who you would consider shorthanded, at least on paper, though they're playing better without two of their more ball-dominant players. They beat the Timberwolves. That's not a bad win. The Timberwolves ain't great, but you did beat them. At home, you lost to the Wizards at home. You lost to the Cavs at home. The Cavs are a playoff team. You beat the Pistons, who they're competing against for the worst record in basketball. But you did beat them by three on the road. Nice road win for the Rockets. And you mentioned beating the Thunder.
Always hard to win on the road.
Yeah, even in Detroit. And then you beat the Thunder at home, who are actually better than you might imagine if you're not really paying attention. They're a couple games under 500, but they're not They're not what they have been the last couple years, as they've been tanking. So I would say the bigger concern is not questioning whether the Rockets are a playoff team as long as Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. are inactive. Mm-hmm. My question would be, why are they so bad when the two are playing together? And and why would you give one of them $20+ million a year for an extension?
Well, you know, I noticed that when KJ Martin is in the game, good things tend to happen. Yesterday, he had 18.7 boards and four assists. KJ Martin is a guy who, in all seriousness, this guy needs to be on the court. He needs to be on the court a lot more. Right now, Jabari Smith has kind of hit a little bit of a wall. He is having some very up-and-down production. He still rebounds. I mean, he still does things you want him to do. But offensively, he hasn't gotten over the hump offensively. Maybe hitting a little bit of a wall right now. I mean, he's running past the college basketball season. Right now, he's past what he's used to as a college basketball season. He's well past it. Rockets pick up their 13th win yesterday, and they're in a mad dash to try to scramble to 25 wins, which would be over 24.5. So 25 is the number they should be shooting for this year, if they really are a team that wants to really be serious about being a great team.
That number is very specific.
Yeah, it's just kind of an arbitrary number I set for them early in the year before the season started. Drive for 25.
Arbitrary, huh? Did you put anything of value? Does that number have any value to you?
The value is that I know in my heart that they're, you know, trying, and I know in my heart, and Vegas knows in their heart, that the Rockets are, you know, actually a team that is moving forward and actually improving. And that's what we want to see as a city. We all want to see them get to 25 wins. It's kind of a collective thing that we're all shooting for.
That's a interesting number. The whole city wants to see them get to 25 wins. Kevin Porter Jr. will be getting, let's say, his salary is 15.8 over the next...
Earning all of it, absolutely.
$15.8 million when his extension kicks in. I mentioned the 82 or the 20-plus because that involves a potential incentive-laden deal when it comes to playoffs and team wins. The way things are going, I don't think he's going to see a lot of that over the length of that contract as it stands right now. But he is guaranteed 15.8 from 23 through 27. And when... you heard that deal go through. Did you think to yourself, why, or were you excited? I wasn't listening at the
time. Excited is not the word.
Were you thrilled when you heard that the Rockets were committing to Kevin Porter Jr.?
So here's the deal. Based on the way the contract's set up, since it's not guaranteed, it actually is a leverage deal where the Rockets said, okay, we like what we see from Kevin Porter Jr. Let's use this opportunity to get him a number that is a reasonable number by NBA standards for what his production is. Not necessarily wins, but production, and let's use our leverage that we have against him to make it a non-guaranteed deal. So actually, I didn't have – like, I don't look at it like the number isn't really bothering me because you have plenty of cap space. I like the fact that Rafael Stone used leverage to make sure that it wasn't guaranteed so that at any point they could trade him. You know, they actually are okay with this deal. I didn't think it's a terrible deal. On paper, you could make an argument that what are you doing? But when you really look at the specifics of it, it doesn't really hurt the Rockets. The Rockets are okay. Now, I want Eric Gordon yesterday. We've got sound on Eric Gordon talking about the win over Oklahoma City. This is a guy who many people believe he is the most coveted player before the trade deadline. And I'm hoping that somebody really wants him badly a week from now when the trade deadline hits. How could you not with 25 points in a winning effort? Rockets, one of the hottest teams in basketball now, winning three of the last five, and including a big win yesterday, including back-to-back wins without two of their highest-scoring players, as I've just laid everything out, playoff-caliber team without those two players in short sample sizes. And it was the red-hot Eric Gordon with 25 yesterday that got the win against Oklahoma City. And this is a guy who's a team leader. He is a guy that always looks excited to play basketball.
Is that
always
your description?
Energetic on the court. Yep, and okay. Somebody that you've got to have on your team. You really need him on your team. He's a difference maker. He can put you over the top. Here's Eric Gordon talking about this massive win against Oklahoma City.
We're just playing good, sound basketball. It's not the prettiest right now, but we're finding ways to win, and the guys are grinding it out, playing good defense, and also, just rebounded ball is just always going to give you a chance, and then that's how you're going to have chances to win, you know, ugly games. My mentality is all about winning. And, you know, getting stats and all that, that's just not me. And I'm all about playing winning basketball. And I tell those guys, you know, be yourself, and we'll find ways to thrive throughout the game. And, you know, it's all about just giving these young guys confidence and always, you know, offensively just look forward to getting the ball sometimes. And defensively, you know, those guys want it. And that's just, we're just playing good, sound basketball. We're not doing anything over the top. You know, like I said, we're going to make mistakes throughout the game, but we still hang in there and we find ways to win. And trying to find ways to win or even in close games, those are the ways that you grow as a team.
Wow. Next time at KPJ and next time at Jalen, okay? You don't have to subtweet them so hard. You don't have to subtalk them so hard with your, you know, winning's important to me. I just play hard. Just absolutely slandered those two guys. So we got to get him off the team and get a first rounder for him.
No,
clearly.
But you just said he would be an added benefit to anyone who would trade for him, and he's one of the more coveted players in the league. Now you're saying you want to throw him away?
No, I want a high pick.
Oh,
I want a high pick.
You want a high pick for a mid-30s guard who you don't want on your roster anymore.
Hmm. Did you win a title with Ray Allen? A mid-30s guard that was winning the Miami
He was a free agent. He wasn't acquired
for
a first-round pick.
He was the missing ingredient.
He made big shots, but he was a free agent on his last legs, and he wanted to go. He was ring chasing. He wasn't traded away for a first-round pick.
Eric Gordon can go ring chasing too.
I mean, not for a first-round pick, he can't.
Well, says you, but you know it's not easy to get 25 points in the NBA these days.
Well, I don't know. Corey Brewer once scored 50 against the Rockets. I don't know how hard 25 is.
Well, that was back when they didn't play defense. Now it's a much more defensive-oriented
league. Yes, now it's
league.
A much more defensive-oriented league, yes.
And, it's a lot tougher.
Everyone's playing all the time, going all out in the regular season. Yeah, so it's a defensive league.
A defensive league.
Hard-playing, lockdown defensive type of league.
With lots of effort, and everyone plays, like you said. Eric Gordon, we do have a week before trade deadline. We will see if Eric Gordon leaves. But Eric Gordon did want to make sure you know that he's just about winning.
Playing hard, too. Doing it the right way.
Playing hard, doing it the right way. Doesn't care about stats, just cares about winning.
I like how he said get the ball sometimes.
Yeah, just little things he had in there. So the Rockets win yesterday. That was obviously huge news around the NBA.
Obviously.
As they beat Oklahoma City. And Tari Eason, a little known fact, I don't know if this is an NBA record or not. I'm going to assume it's not only an NBA record, but a world record. I believe he may have broken a world record yesterday, Dell. 29 shots in 19 minutes. Ooh. He played 19 minutes off the bench. He scored 20 points, had 13 rebounds, and he got off 21 shots in 19 minutes. Is that a world record?
I don't think it's a world record because Deion Waiters exists, so I'm assuming it's not a world record.
And Jamal Crawford.
There are plenty of guys who've done that before, but I don't know. If Tari Eason saw an opportunity, he goes, no Jalen, no KPJ. Eric Gordon's just willing to give me the basketball. I'm going to get up some shots.
Dell, in 1 minute, typically you may get a lot of times maybe three possessions, sometimes four because the basketball, it goes a lot faster these days. There's a lot more early offense. But to get four shots, you got 15 seconds per possession. To get three shots, I mean, you're dealing with 20 seconds per possession. 24-second shot clock, okay, you know. For him to get off 21 shots in 19 minutes, I didn't get to see, I'm assuming, I didn't get to see it here. It was not nationally broadcast here in Mobile, Alabama.
No.
Rockets.
No. The game.
The Rockets Thunder. I would assume some of them might have been putbacks on the offensive boards. How do you squeeze off 21 in 19 minutes?
And an efficient 21 shots, scoring 20 points on those 21 shots. So I'm going to say some of those putbacks, they're probably less putbacks than you imagine if he only scored 20 points on 21 shots. So I'm going to try to find his shot chart from last night, and let's see where all his shots are taken. Because you're right.
Don't put too much time into
no,
it.
No, but you want it, you said you wanted to know how that happened. So let's find out. I mean, we don't have anything else to talk about, right? There's like D'Amico's interviewing potential coordinators. You've got talk of where Aaron Rodgers is going. I don't know, but the Tar Heels
National
stuff,
Signing Day. Yeah. National Signing Day. I don't know how your team did, but
no,
sure
they got all their stuff done on the early signing day. Some guy, like, you know, Oregon got a 4-star. Alabama, I'm sure, got more players.
Alabama got 8 5-stars.
I'm talking about on this particular day as opposed to what they did in December.
Oh, okay.
It's lost its luster because most of the kids decide in December where they're going. And some kids do hang on to the very end. Like, they hang on to it like grim death. But most kids are like, you know what? I've done enough bag chasing. I'm done here. Let's get it out of the way in December so I can pick my school, enroll early or whatever, focus on the rest of my high school life.
Yeah, I got some stuff from Senior Bowl. I talked to Tyree Wilson about NIL. I want to get to that in a second, and had some other interesting college football conversations yesterday. We do, when we come back, we do have some comments from NFL insiders about D'Amico Ryans, about the Texans. And we've got some interesting stories to get to today, and we will do that when we come back here in just a second. So you guys can jump in. People are excited about Rocket Talk right now. There's a lot of positivity. There's a lot of people really getting what I would like to call jazzed about the Rockets. So if you guys want to pile on with some Rockets talk, come on in. Tari Eason, world record, 21 shots in 19 minutes. Is it a world record? That's something I know a lot of you want to talk about. Are the Rockets, do they have a chance at making the playoffs if KPJ and Jalen Green
never
stay out
again
the rest of the season? That, I'm just, from a mathematical standpoint, if you'd like to talk about that, you can. I'm going to talk about tequila right now. I'm going to talk about Maestro Dobel. I haven't seen one bottle of Maestro Dobel here in any of the restaurants and bars. And I just, all I can say is I think Mobile, Alabama is a little behind the times. I think they're a little bit behind the times. And that's fine. It'll catch up to them. It'll catch up to them here in a couple years, 3 years. They'll finally figure out Maestro Dobel, and all of a sudden that will be on the top shelf. It's not here at the Marriott I'm in. They don't have any Maestro Dobel, and when you look at the menu and their frozen-ass cheesecake they try to give you, it's not a surprise to me that they're behind a little bit. In Houston, we're not behind. This is tequila from Tequila Mexico. It's made by 11 generations of tequila makers have been making Maestro Dobel. And the flavor profile is phenomenal, no matter what type of tequila you get. Now, the silver is kind of the standard for margaritas, for example. But have you had the Humito, which is the smoke silver? That's fantastic. That adds a little smoke in your margarita, which I love. I love different types of different flavored margaritas with a little kick to them, a little smoke in them. That's something I think you should really give a consideration. And of course, from a sipping standpoint, the Cristalino, which are three different types of tequilas that are charcoal filtered and aged. I mean, that is a standard bearer. So whether you are looking for a great sipping tequila or one for your margaritas or your cocktails, Maestro Dobel is 100% a bottle you need on your shelf. Maestro Dobel, wherever fine liquors are sold, not in Mobile, Alabama, but definitely in Houston, Maestro Dobel.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, Dell and I have you all day today, all day tomorrow. I'm in Mobile, Alabama, where I'm at the Senior Bowl. Written up a couple different articles on Tuesday and Wednesday of the top players I've seen out here. Just some notable players who have helped themselves. And one of the guys I focused on yesterday was Tank Dell, University of Houston wide receiver. And the fact is, for the last 2 days, Tank Dell is just unguardable in one-on-ones. And he was unguardable on tape. I made this comment in the article. I said, you know, scouts tell me, or football sources tell me, that he played below his listed weight here at the Senior Bowl of 163 pounds. He played below that this year at University of Houston, which is a big concern for NFL decision makers as it pertains to durability. It's also a big concern of theirs when you have to line up against a guy with the speed and separation of Tank Dell. So you're going to have to figure out, going up against Nathaniel Tank Dell from University of Houston, yeah, he's He weighs 163 pounds, and I mean, he is slight. He is slight, and they say he's even lighter than that when the season was jumping off at Houston. Maybe he can play into 160s, but 160s, I mean, that's super light. But here's the thing. No one touches him. Like, guys aren't even getting close to him in coverage. So how does that, you know, how do you parse his ability to get open, make catches? I just, little guys get hurt. It's what happens. But if they don't take big hits, they got a chance to stay healthy and make a lot of big plays. And so he was a guy that, to me, he's going to make teams really have some tough conversations about potentially giving an exception from a size standpoint because he's that explosive. Clayton Tune did not play well. It was not a good day for Clayton Tune. A lot of batted passes. He had one intercepted by D. Winters from TCU, which would have been a pick six if they, you know, if that was the structure of the scrimmage. So it was not a good day for Clayton Tune. It's a terrible, terrible week for quarterbacks. It's not a talented group. They will have undrafted free agents in this group. It's maybe the worst group of quarterback talent that I've seen since I've come out to the Senior Bowl in 2001. It's really been bad. So some of the guys, Hendon Hooker, you know, torn up knee, can't play. Will Levis has some rough injuries he's coming back from. He cannot. I thought he was maybe bailing because he wanted to work on his mechanics and all that stuff. But Will Levis played with three different injuries during the season. And it is going to be something you start hearing more about because NFL teams who – remember now, NFL teams don't care about Twitter. They don't care about what people on TV are going to say. They don't take sides on players like, you know, here's a play. They don't do Twitter polls. They just want to know, can a guy help them win? And they want to get deep into the heart of every single player. What is this player about? What's his makeup? What's his physical? And Will Levis, apparently, talking to a team yesterday, really was hurt. I mean, toughed it out where a lot of guys would not have played with some of the stuff he was dealing with. So now you have to kind of go look at him when he was – I've already done this, but you have to go look at him whenever he was healthy. There's still, for me, accuracy issues. But the fact that he played through these injuries in a time where a lot of guys just bail in all sports, if they're hurt at all, they'll just bail – that's a big thing to teams. The mental toughness and the physical toughness is a big deal with Will Levis. So he couldn't play at Senior Bowl because he's still really beat up and he's trying to get healthy for the combine. And it's Stetson Bennett, like an idiot, you know, dropped out. So it would have been a decent Senior Bowl if Hendon Hooker, Stetson Bennett, Will Levis. You know, we would have had some guys out here. And now we've got Tyler Badgett from Shepherd. Have you ever heard of Shepherd?
No.
Jake Hayner from Fresno State.
I've heard of
Clayton
him.
Clayton Tune, Max Dugan. Max had a decent day yesterday. But, yeah, and DeMarvion Overshown was okay. He was okay yesterday from University of Texas. But I talked to Tyree Wilson. Tyree Wilson is represented by Eric Burkhart with Rock Nation. And EB introduced me to Tyree. He's here talking to some teams. I remember when Patrick Peterson was down here talking to teams when he wasn't. You know, he wasn't in the Senior Bowl. Jason Peters, although Jason Peters, his agent was just trying to convince anyone to give him a shot. Now he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And back then he was going to be an undrafted free agent tight end who was going to have to make the transition to tackle. But anyway, I talked to Tyree. It was we had a good talk. I asked him about NIL. He said, you know, I made a little bit of money. But he said, I don't know, I didn't have that many opportunities. And he goes, my focus was pretty much on. Now this is what he said. This is a great answer, Dell. He said, I don't really care about the money stuff because once you start getting paid, you know, a lot of times it's just about the money and you're not, you know, you question how much you just, you know, you find out when guys don't really love football, they just love the money. I'm like, what a great answer that Eric Burkhart has coached you into saying.
Exactly.
I just wondered if Texas Tech, if they just didn't have that, and he was already there and like, what's he going to do? He's not going to leave. You remember, he was an Aggie at one point. And I don't get the feeling he was a big Jimbo guy talking to him.
Yeah,
I don't think he was a huge Jimbo Fisher fan.
I'm not sure a lot of guys in that program, considering the Exodus, were big Jimbo guys. Tyree Wilson has a great speechwriter, so at least we know that about him. He's got the answers down. Yeah, Texas Tech is getting into financing their program in multiple ways, but I think Tyree was, like you said, was already there, and they may be throwing their money at guys they're trying to bring in, not guys who are already in the program. I heard there was a report about how much they're investing in the program. This was last year during the season. So he got in right before the big boon for Texas Tech money and football. So we'll see how they what they do going forward as the Big 12 kind of evolves and they have a real shot to stake their claim to being one of the top programs there.
So here were the teams in signing day that did. I don't typically I don't pay the same attention to signing day as a lot of people. I understand how important it is, but I don't pay as much attention to top-ranked classes, supposedly. Alabama, 8 5 stars. You mess around with them on NIL, and you're going to find out. You're going to find out. So Nick Saban came back hard.
I wonder how they did that, considering they don't give money to players before they earn it. I wonder how, just, in the world where players, like a guy like Jaden Rashada, committed to Miami, then – Florida offered him a better deal. People who have Florida's best interest at heart, because the school would never offered him a better deal,
that's illegal.
And then they couldn't fulfill that their promise, so he went to Arizona State. How did in a world where that occurs, how did Nick Saban manage to secure that many 5 stars and get the number one class when they only give players money once they've earned it by doing things for Alabama?
Okay, I'll have to give you the answer. The highest number of National Merit Scholars, second highest in the country. You've got great facilities. You've got a history of winning championships and playing for championships. Great training table. Bill O'Brien is gone. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of key components that would make a young man say, you know what, tremendous educational opportunity there. Different looking, good looking women and good looking men. I don't want to tell you what you're supposed to look. We love who we love.
Love is love.
And love is love. So I'm just telling you, there's a lot of – I mean, it's the SEC, okay? And it just means more in the SEC.
Is that national merit thing what they were selling your kid on about coming to Alabama? Is that why
They gave him money, and then he got a little extra for Hispanic scholar.
Wait a minute. So Alabama's giving non-football players money before they earn it as a Crimson Tide, but they're not giving it to their football players?
Yeah, they stay within the boundaries of the law and of the rules.
That's interesting and surprising and maybe just a flat-out false.
No, and somebody said, oh, you mean they're – because I made mention of the fact that Alabama, Ole Miss, and Arkansas are giving a ton of money to students from Texas that have good SAT and ACT scores. Like, as soon as you score well – my son Alec had a good ACT and SAT score. I don't know how he pulled that out, but he scored really well. And he had just, I don't know why Baylor, Texas A&M, Oregon, teams that he liked when he was younger, Alabama because they have good sports. Alabama all of a sudden like, oh, he qualifies for this scholarship. We're like, what? Oh, yeah, he can get most of his tuition paid for. Oh, his mom is Mexican. Oh, he's Hispanic scholar too. I said, he is? Yeah, he's Hispanic scholar. The whole tuition is going to be paid and his room is going to be paid as well for the full year. I was like, because he's Hispanic scholar? Yeah. I was like, what? Oh, I didn't know he was Hispanic scholar. I didn't know he was a scholar. I knew he was
Did you know he was
Hispanic?
Hispanic. What
yeah,
did
I knew
you
that.
Know about
I didn't
him?
Know the scholar part. And so he's got a suite. So, he ended up going to Alabama.
What is Tuscaloosa looking for? Why are they so interested in Hispanic
scholars?
Well,
let me tell you. They're – well, let me – so you're probably going to think they're just trying to buy diversity.
Maybe.
Also, they're bringing in a lot of students from California, Pennsylvania, Texas. If you've got good grades, they're bringing you in. They're bringing in a lot of National Merit Scholars. And Alec is not a National Merit Scholar, but he did score well on SAT and ACT. And I had somebody make the comment a couple times, say, oh, they buy students like they buy players. And I thought that was a cheap shot.
Is it wrong, though? I mean, it feels like it hits home. So they're not enough smart kids in the South? They have to bring in GPAs? They have to bus in GPAs from across the country?
Okay, so you make it sound like that. I think just more kids want to come here now.
Well, I believe that because there's Alabama sports as well, at least the football program.
Now, the baseball. Now, it is true. Kids from the Northeast are all flocking to SEC schools now, like Georgia's the one that they all want to get into, but it is actually true that kids from the Northeast want to go be part of the Instagram SEC, tailgate culture. But yes, they are attracting a lot of kids. Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Alabama are the three that I hear most often. That they are they're giving financial And that's because the Alabama football team's so good, they have a little extra money to throw around.
I would ask the what's going on in those states as far as their educational system, where the state schools really have to ship in smart kids from across the country because the education level in those actual states isn't at a level good enough to help. So where are all the kids in Alabama going? UAB, where are they going? Auburn, where? What's going on?
I'd just be working off of stereotypes of the South. I really don't know. But I think, you know, we've all got a feeling about how the state educational system can be in certain states.
I would just ask that they step it up so they don't. Well, it's great for you, but they're buying kids on all levels.
Hey, it's NIL. My son just basically got an NIL deal. I'm like, roll tide. My wife said, well, it's better than being an Aggie.
Yeah,
you know, my wife said she would not. Okay. All right. On the other side, I'm going to get to this. A question came up yesterday at dinner. I was having dinner, and an Aggie was asked a question, and he had a strong response.
About who?
I'm going to tell you. Well, and my Longhorn wife, I got on the phone and gave her a call, and she had an extremely strong response. And I'm curious to see I think I know your response to this question as well. You guys will want to listen to this. It involves money. 713-780-3776 is our phone number. You can jump in if you want to. We're going to break it right here. But coming up, I'm going to get that. Also get to some comments on D'Amico Ryan. Some Ross Tucker, NFL insider, had some really interesting comments and some we'll just call them platitudes. You're going to hear some platitudes coming up in about 3 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple of knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, love it. Home run. I mean, even in Philadelphia, where he played a couple years, they absolutely love him. He is probably one of the most respected players of the last 20 years. It really is extremely impressive how well-regarded he is in Houston, in Philadelphia, in San Francisco. He's young. You know, it kind of gives me some Mike Vrabel vibes, and I think it's a great hire for the Texans.
That was Ross Tucker talking about D'Amico Ryans and the respect level, and that's true. You think about that, the entire city of Philadelphia, they don't respect anybody. The entire city of Philadelphia, Houston, San Francisco, everywhere he goes, the Alabama program, everywhere he goes, he's highly respected. I don't think respect's going to be an issue, but you still have to win. You know, you still have to win. You can be beloved, you can be respected, but this is still a business, and he's still going to have to win. Let's get Joe. Joe wants to talk. We got Joe, Julian. I want to get Joe, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to throw you this little question here, Dell, and I'm going to see what your response is. Joe, what's up? How are we doing?
Hey, how you doing? Actually, I'm going to divert real quickly since you have a story about your wife coming up and go back to the days when your last name was the side of town you were in. A story that it'll only probably go to about 14 people, but Lance will remember. When you told the story about modesty and the glass breaking, it reminded me of a show called the Blue Light Cemetery Show, where I think one night you showed up in about the same condition and peed on a rock in the front of your house.
Oh, my God. You remember that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was some rocks out on the side by my garage. But, yeah, I forgot. I think I did have some drinks that I called into the Blue Light Cemetery Show. I was not driving. That was just a home thing. But, yeah, the Blue Light Cemetery Show used to be a pirate radio show that would come on 1560. You just never knew when it would come on. And it would start at about midnight, it was different. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, people falling asleep in the studio. You had Boba Fett on at one time, a cop pulling somebody over, a guy setting his alarm off with his bong smoke. I mean, it was a good show.
Yeah, sometime girls from the Roxy downstairs would end up upstairs on the show. So, yeah, it was you never knew what you'd get on that one.
My draft thing, since coming to the first hot take show, and we're about to get a good Longhorn story, we should go back to what brought all of sports radio to this point to begin with. Let's get back to Vince and Reggie.
VY Reggie, that's where coming. That's where going. I don't know who the. I know Bryce Young would be the either the Vince or the Reggie. Probably the Vince because he's a quarterback. I don't know who the Reggie would be. Like there was a hot debate between Vince or Reggie. Vince or Reggie. I don't know who the Reggie would be. Dell, do you know anybody that would be the Reggie Bush in this one that people are not, they don't want Vince Carter? Is it maybe Will Anderson? Is there a group out there that are Will Anderson people?
No, I don't think so. Because Reggie Bush was just something different in college football. The returning aspect, playing for USC, the long runs, the long receptions. He was just a showstopper. There is no comparison. In fact, and Bryce Young ain't Vince either because of all the Houston connections. There will be nothing like it in this city, and I think you are grateful for that. That was a unique time. I don't think we'll ever see that again where all those things came to a head. You have the Houston legend who played at Texas, won a national title. You have the national star in Reggie who was this superstar who could be an all-purpose back. And then the Texans did something very sensible, which didn't make a lot of people happy, and drafted Mario Williams. You won't see that this time.
Del, who is your – I'm going to get to it quickly here. Who is your – you're a Miami Hurricane fan. Do you have an arch rival?
As a player or a team?
No, as a fan. As a team, a fan.
Of course.
As a fan of does Miami, including their fan base, have an arch rival?
Yes, they have probably – multiple, and it just depends on who you are. But the obvious answer is Florida State because you play them every year. There is a huge dislike for the Gators because of their arrogance and how they're the state school and they refuse to play Miami. And then there's Notre Dame because of the dichotomy of who those programs were, particularly when they're at their best. But I would probably say currently it would be Florida State just because in conference and they play them every year.
Okay, Florida State. So that's I had to ask that to set this up. So if somebody offered you and they had cash in front of them, $20,000 to get a Florida State tattoo, would you get it?
No. And that's less to do with Florida State and just that I don't want something on me that I don't a tattoo I don't want on me. But either
okay,
way,
okay. That's fine. Now I want to offer you $50,000. I just want you to know that you can have it on your back. No one will see it.
That doesn't
and
help.
I'd prefer it lower back, but that's fine.
What
$50,000?
You mean like what are we talking about? A giant Seminole head or like the
Seminole
FSU,
head? A
FSU
Seminole head
logo.
The size of a coaster.
50K is
that's a lot.
Yeah, but it's not life changing money, and that tattoo is going to be there forever. No, I wouldn't do it. 50K ain't life-changing money. It's great money, but it ain't life-changing money. You got to give me life-changing money.
$150,000.
Now we're talking.
Yep.
Now we're talking. It's just a tattoo. And I can.
Yep.
And are there any like stipulations where I can't cover that thing at some point?
Nope.
Then, yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. So your number is about $150,000. My guess is you might have done it for $120,000, but we gave you the
tripled,
full $150,000.
You tripled the second number, so yeah, $150,000.
Yeah, so we went $150,000. So that's your number, and that's fine. I don't have an arch enemy, so I'm kind of with you. You know, I'd just hold out for as much money as I could get, and then I would take it. The reason that this question came up is because Ivan, who is a big, he's handling a lot of that. He was Kevin Sumlin's video guy that helped him rebrand Texas A&M. He does a lot of great video shoots. He did the NIL shoot for the Houston Cougar basketball team. He's here doing stuff for Panini at the Senior Bowl. My friend Dusty, who I had dinner with, he said, do you know Ivan said, he's a huge Aggie, he said, do you know he said he would not get a Longhorn tattoo, not even for $1 million? I'm like, what? And Dusty said, I would get a man's privates tattooed on me for $1 million.
A specific man or just one of those doodles?
No, just a doodle.
Okay.
A doodle. Yeah, a doodle. As long as I could, you know, you obviously want to make sure you stipulate it's covered. No one's asking you to get a neck tattoo. And so, and I said, yeah, like for $1 million, Ivan swore up and down, not for $1 million, he would never, ever, ever have a Longhorn tattoo. Never, ever, ever. So I called my wife thinking she'd be more sensible. She said the same thing. No way. I would never, ever, ever, ever get an Aggie tattoo. Never get something like that on me, ever. I said, for a million, you're a stay-at-home mom who does homeschool. This is a milli. What are you talking about? She goes, absolutely. And I said, your son, you were going to let your son go to Texas A&M, and you were going to pay money for it. That's different.
How's it different? It's worse. Now he's indoctrinated in Aggie culture. All you have is a tattoo that you won't really have, that you can get covered up at some point.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. For $1 million, she wouldn't do it. And she promises that for $1 million, she would not do it. Are people really like this? Do you think if there was actually $1 million that they would change? Do you think they're that serious in college? I think they are, actually.
I mean, they're that serious, but at this point, it's a hypothetical that she can, you know, stand her ground about being a Longhorn till she dies and say that. But you throw $1 million at her, or, you know, I was going to say something about, nah, I can't do it. But you throw $1 million at her, and she's taking that money. I can't say you would force her, but if there was $1 million there, there'd be a long conversation where eventually taking that money and getting that tattoo.
I mean, I don't see how you could. You have to. If somebody put $1 million in front of you, I don't care if they're your arch rivals. I'm getting Utah Jazz put on my back.
Someone asked you, John Stockton and Karl Malone. Their faces.
I mean, that's a lot of work.
Not
that's
names.
A lot of ink. I know.
Well,
that's
$1 million.
Man, that's going to hurt.
Well, $1 million will make you feel better.
Yeah, that's true. I want it tax-free. I want the left
of course.
Record reflect.
It's a flat
this all needs
million
to be
dollars.
It needs to be an under-the-table, you know, what is it called? It needs to be an indecent proposal where I get that money wired into my account.
Or they give you whatever it takes to make it $1 million that take home. Whatever it takes. If it's one
like,
point,
do
whatever.
You think an Iowa fan would get a Wisconsin Badger on their back? I get the feeling there are some people who wouldn't do it.
We got an Iowa fan who was talking trash to me. Currently, he can answer the question through tweets. He tweeted me that Miami's rival is the Dade County Sheriff's Department. I would say
that. Oh, no. That's heartbreakingly true.
No, it's not true. Miami players rarely get arrested. I said Iowa's rival is a forward pass. So we all have our crosses to bear. With your trash quarterbacks. Get C.J. Beathard out of my face. But we got callers. Speaking of a Texas guy, do you want
okay,
to
go ahead.
Get to Julian or Longhorn Scott?
Longhorn Scott for this one. Longhorn Scott, would you, for $1 million, would you get an Aggie tattoo where no one could see it?
Well, so here's the thing, right? And Lance, you and I, you're going to be surprised by this, but you and I are going to agree, but for different reasons. I mean,
okay.
But think about this. $1 million, okay. How much do you think, so you get a tattoo, you get paid $1 million. Bet, like, you know, the dare, the bet, what do you want to call it, has been achieved, right?
Right.
Right. So now, how much do you think the most expensive either tattoo removal specialist is or just to cover it up with another tattoo? It's a hell of a lot less than $1 million. I mean, candidly, this is where you got to start thinking about things more creatively. I mean, to say I got to get a tattoo, as long as there's no like time length of stipulation that you have to have it, if there's an Aggie dumb enough to pay me $1 million to get an A&M tattoo, and then I get paid, and then I immediately go consult with the best, you know, tattoo removal person that the money can buy, it ain't going to cost $1 million. It's going to cost like a penance of that. Who's stupid there, right? I mean, these jokes write themselves, yeah. Like, that's called getting over on someone in, like, to the nth degree. I mean, that's my take on it. Shit, why not?
Whoa! Hit that button twice.
Hit that button.
And hold,
hit that bleep
and put
button.
Him on hold. There, he couldn't hold up. A reasonable call from him.
Yeah, but
rare.
Also, by the way, of course there'd be a stipulation that you're not able to cover it up. Of course there's a stipulation.
Look, there's a time limit. You have to keep that thing on you for a year plus, whatever the number is. Even if they say, hey, that's a 5-year investment. You got to keep that thing on for 5 years, and you get a lump sum or a payment plan where it's like you get, I don't know, $250,000 every 18 months during that 5-year span. I'm still doing it. I can't have a crappy tattoo for 5 years. I can do that.
Yeah, no. for 100%, you got it. Everyone's doing it for $1 million. My wife's trying to be tough. She's trying to talk tough until that million's in front of her. As a matter of fact, let's make it $250,000.
She'd do that too.
You Aggies are getting Longhorns. You Longhorns are getting Aggies. Y'all can act tough all you want until the cash is here. Yeah. Exactly. Now, you also, in the stipulation, and I don't know anyone who's actually given us this money, but in the stipulation, you can't get a new tattoo over it, and you can't get it taken off for 12 years.
Even 12 still. 12 years. 12 years, $1 million, please.
So what?
Easy
get
money.
Get a swim shirt. Yeah. Get a swim
what
shirt.
What are we doing
jump
here?
Jump in a pool at the swim
and
shirt.
Someone
yeah, I'm going to make you get it on your lower. It is going to be a tramp stamp, by the way, for $1 million. You're going to have to. It's going to.
You know how rare is my lower back going to be exposed to people? I mean, what
I
am
know.
I?
No, it's your choice, Del.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's your choice what you do.
I'll be one of those dudes wearing a tank top in the pool. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's still a or I'll have a private pool.
I don't want to get cancer.
Yeah.
I got this
swim
shirt.
Despite my complexion, it can still happen to me. No skin cancer. I gotta wear this tank top. It's fine. Easy money.
Yeah, so anyway, let's break it right here. I knew we'd go a little long on the would you get a tattoo of your rivalry thing, and I'm actually quite sure that this is not over with. I think people are going to be spilling into our comments on Twitter and in phone calls, but anything you want to talk about, we can get into. Rick Smith, former general manager of the Houston Texans, had some comments, and we're going to hear from Rick when we come back here in a second. 713-780-3776. You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and you can also hear us on 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
They can come closer than close, yeah. Original, they never will be.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, let's get back to it. Lance Zierlein, Del Olale, and we got you until 10 o'clock. Paul Gallant takes over at that time. Houston Rockets get the win yesterday. They won a couple back-to-back. No KPJ, no Jalen Green, no problem. Tari Eason, 20 points, 13 rebounds. Eric Gordon was the high scorer with 25, and then a decent game from Shingun. He was okay. Kenyon Martin Jr., another good game. This is pretty standard for him, 18 points, 7 boards, 4 assists. Rockets crushed on the boards. This is three consecutive games they've outboarded opponents by double digits. That's actually kind of a pretty cool stat that they're getting after the rebound. Shows good length, and they actually are not a terrible rebounding team.
Tari Eason had 12 by itself, and we have the explanation for why he took 21 shots. There are a lot of – I watched the video. You can go to NBA.com, and you can just watch all of his shots in last night's game. A lot of Charles Smith moments where he's got an offensive rebound, and Tari Eason has never heard of kick it out. He is going back up immediately. A lot of moments where he's missing 3 to 4 tip-ins at a time, it felt like.
Okay.
So that's where all that came from, just missing shots around the rim after grabbing rebounds, and those rebounds obviously
For those of you joining, you don't know what we're talking about. He's credited with 21 shot attempts in 19 minutes of play, which is, like, insane. If you had 21 points in that time, that's considered really, yeah. really, you know, it's considered good. 21 shots is like almost unheard of.
Yeah, it was a
but
lot.
But that explains it.
Yeah. So you were right. The putback stuff, missing by like sometimes at 2 or 3 at a time, and then finally either it going in or Oklahoma City finally getting the rebound. So he was active on the boards, and it led to his 12 rebounds, offensive rebounds, and the Rockets do get the win over OKC. So as you said, a playoff team in the last 5 games.
Yeah.
And KPJ and Jalen Green don't play.
A playoff caliber team, at least from a
winning percentage-wise, they'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah, 60%, yeah. So, you know, if they continued to play like this, yeah, it would be one of the stories of basketball. If they can continue what we've seen, especially over the last 2 games, that would be an amazing run.
That small sample size of 2 games.
Yeah, Jalen Green is expected back probably the second game. You got Toronto on Friday, and then Oklahoma City on Saturday, back-to-back. And Jalen Green is expected back probably for the second of those back-to-backs. So Jalen Green will come back. And a week from now, we've got the NBA trade deadline. So we'll see if Eric Gordon is still here. We'll see if Rafael Stone decides to shuffle the deck at all with any of the players. Rick Smith, former general manager of your Houston Texans, was the guy. Now, he did not draft D'Amico Ryans. The 2006 draft was actually held before Charlie Casserly was actually in charge of that draft, and he was responsible for the 06 draft, which was actually one of the best drafts in Texans history, probably the best. It had Eric Winston, a guy named Charles Spencer, who would have been a really, really good offensive lineman, but had a very serious leg injury he wasn't able to come back from. Owen Daniels, D'Amico Ryans, Mario Williams. There was some really good players in that draft. And Rick Smith came shortly after the draft and was here during D'Amico Ryans' time as the team captain and a emotional and inspirational leader and good football player as well. Rick Smith was on with Mark Berman and talked about D'Amico Ryans.
Well, I'm extremely excited for D'Amico, first and foremost, and his family. He's a fantastic human being. Was a great football player, as you know, and I'm sure many of the folks that are watching this broadcast remember him. And has done it the right way in his coaching progression and in his coaching career. And I've been excited to watch him develop and excited for the opportunity that would be presented to him because I was absolutely sure that he would get it. And now that it's here in Houston, just over the moon, grateful that it's worked out the way it has for him and excited for what he's going to bring to the Houston Texans organization.
Rick, when you watched him progress as a player, did you sense he was headed this way maybe in some form or fashion?
Well, I think when you talk to people, I mean, the players called him Cap, right? He was such a dynamic leader, and part of the reason why he was a really good football player, Mark, was because he was so smart. He knew, he understood the game, and he had a way to even as a player, help his fellow teammates out on the field. And, you know, they call it a coach on the field, but D'Amico's always been a leader. And so you always recognize those traits in players. You never know if they want to do it or not, right? But you recognize that if he decided to be a coach, he would be a really good one, and he is.
And those are all very favorable. Just checks out with it. But that was a guy who was actually in the building with him and seeing it. So very good perspective there from Rick Smith. We're going to break here and catch up on everything. Dell got us past break last time talking about his stuff with tattoo stuff with him in Florida State. So
that's my fault.
My apologies. On that. Oh, would Longhorn Scott get a Johnny Manziel pick? I'm not going to say what you said, Mega Blast, but a Johnny Manziel picture tattooed on his back. I say no. I'm not sure there's a... Yeah, I say he would for $400,000. You know when we play this game with Raheel, isn't it terrifying
how
lower
low
the number
think.
Is?
Yeah,
it's
he contends
lower than a human
that,
should say.
And he contends that everyone is lying when they talk about the number and how much it would take. And I think he's right, probably. I think the number's a little lower than people suggest. Like, you jumped up to 150K for me, and I said yes. You know, yeah. I'd probably go for 70, 80 grand.
I was trying to be respectful. I was trying to make you, like, I wanted to take all doubt out. Raheel, I got to start down at, like, 1,200
to,
for Raheel.
Like, he has put a Longhorn on himself as a Longhorn graduate. Would he cover that up with a border collie, with Reveille? Would he do that?
I had no doubt he would do it for $2,300.
I think that's too high.
And he'd pay for the tattoo.
I know he is a spokesman for Lululemon at times. Actually, I don't know what his deal is. I'm not sure what that is. But
none of us know.
Yeah, if he became if he got free Lululemon for life, but limited to a certain amount per year. But like, let's say he got $200 worth of clothing from Lululemon. And that could be like three pieces, by the way. It's kind of expensive. He would do it. If you gave him three pieces of Lululemon clothing that added up to $200 per year for the rest of his life, he would get a Reveille tattooed over that Longhorn.
It's not as much as you think. It's surprisingly low. That's the concern. That's the concern we all have. While my wife says she wouldn't do stuff for $1 million, I know Raheel, all I need to have in my pocket is probably $750.
Yeah. He's got a second kid. He's got responsibilities.
Yeah, let's hold out for a little more money, Raheel, when you're getting tattoos put on you from these weird and decent proposals that we're going through hypothetically. We're going to break it right here. We come back, we will get to more phone calls. You guys want to talk NFL draft? I'm here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. I'd be more than happy to talk to you about whatever player, prospect, or position you want. 713-780-3776.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.